Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to this Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And a very special welcome to our special guest, live with me in the studio. I'm not just a local minister, I'm proud to be called the minister's wife's husband. So here she is in person, the minister's wife, Patricia. So
hello, welcome. Hello, hello. I'm glad you know your place, my dear.
Yep. As regular listeners will know, we write and perform worship sketches, and here is a further selection of them. This is, in fact, our fourth programme together.
And it's good fun together, isn't it?
Yeah. So the first one's a good bit of fun, but it's also technically quite difficult. So have you got your teeth in?
They are in and stuck.
Right. Once upon a time, there were two squirrels with the unusual names of In and Out. One day, their friend a badger came round to their tree. He knocked on the tree and Mummy Squirrel answered, and the conversation went like this. Hello, I just came in to see if In and Out are in, or out.
Well, in is out, but out is in. Would you like to come in and see out, or would you prefer to go out and see in?
Please may I come in and see out, since he's in. We can go out and see in later, that is, if out wants to go out. He might prefer to stay in, of course. It's funny how In likes to go out all the time, while Out prefers to stay in, usually.
OK, come in. Out! Badger is in. Out! Out! Where are you? Are you in? Oh, good. Out is in. You're right, Badger. In loves to go out, while Out is always in.
Hello, Out. I hear In is out, but I'm glad you're in. I just came in to see if you'd like to come out and play with In, or if you prefer to stay in. We can stay in if you prefer, but In is all alone outside there.
Out reluctantly agreed. All right, let's go out and see In. So Badger and Out went out to see In. They said to In, would you like to stay out and play, or would you prefer you to go in? Well, In wanted to stay out, while Out wanted to go in. They discussed the ins and outs until they fell out and fought with each other. The result was that Out got knocked in and In got knocked out. And the moral to the tale is, never discuss the ins and outs of things to the point where you don't know whether you're coming or going.
Aye, well, we'll go through that one.
That was a tongue twister.
Here's another one. This is a conversation you might hear between a husband and a wife any time.
Hitting your head against a brick wall. What are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing?
It looks like you're hitting your head against a brick wall.
And it's pretty sore too.
So, why are you hitting your head against the aforementioned brick wall?
Because I want to break through.
Why do you want to go through a solid brick wall?
Like the proverbial chicken, to get to the other side.
Why don't you just give up?
I never give up. I've started, so I'll finish.
But why don't you just go round the side?
Why should I have to go out of my way just because of this thick brick?
Because it wouldn't hurt your head so much.
You underestimate me. I'm made of sterner stuff than that. I don't give up. Imagine being beaten by a bunch of bricks.
Well, the bricks are beating you as it is.
Just stand back. I'm going to take a bigger run up this time.
Do you really think that's such a good idea? Oh, dear.
I nearly had it then.
That's what I was thinking. You had nearly had it.
Just hold on. I think I know how to crack it this time.
It's a wonder you haven't cracked something before now.
Watch this.
If you ask me, I think you are more cracked than the wall.
It's all a matter of mind over matter.
Well, I think the wall's got more matter than your head.
You must have seen karate experts smashing bricks before.
Are you a karate expert?
Well, no.
Well then, I rest my case.
All they do is apply a little mind over matter.
And you sure have the little mind. Listen, you might like to apply this matter to your mind. Albert Einstein said, "It is the definition of madness to keep repeating exactly the same action, hoping for a different result."
I know what you are saying, but it's also true that the walls of Jericho only fell after repeated circles of the city, and we often need to exercise persistence.
Well, maybe we can agree on the fact that we need to be selective about when and where we persist.
Of course, but don't go on and on about it. Here's Kenny Rogers singing "The Higher You Build Your Barriers." Here's another sketch. It's called the thank you sketch.
Thank you very much indeed.
Don't mention it.
No, I am really grateful.
Oh, it was nothing.
You're too modest. I am truly very thankful for what you did.
It was the least I could do.
Oh, well, thanks a bundle.
I would do the same for anyone.
I thought you'd done it specially for me.
No, I just did what I had to do.
Oh, I see.
Anyone else would have done the same thing.
It must have taken a lot out of you.
Not really. I could do this in my sleep.
Were you not nervous?
Nervous of what?
Were you not afraid?
Afraid? No.
Did it not take a lot out of you?
No, I hardly broke sweat.
Well, I will be eternally grateful to you.
Think nothing of it.
Is there nothing I can do to repay you?
No, forget it.
Oh, no, I shall always remember with gratitude what you did for me.
It's all in the past, nearly forgotten already.
Well, thank you, Jesus, for healing us 10 lepers.
That's okay. But where are the other 9 of you? Thinking about thankfulness, here's Catherine Jenkins singing, exactly in Italian, but she's singing "The Things I Like About You," the things that I'm grateful for in the other person. here's a sketch. It's the kind of comment that sometimes is put to the minister. So it's entitled, "I'm not coming to your church. Sit for an hour, sit quiet, with no plasma screen to look at. Sit on hard planks in rows with strangers, listening to a man in a dress, reading a 3,000-year-old book, using weird words and phrases, closing my eyes to speak to the invisible one, singing hundreds of years old songs with old-fashioned words I don't know, with old-fashioned ideas I don't agree with, probably, giving my money away, not buying anything, just putting it on a plate and waving it goodbye, with hardly any screaming kids, just rows of silent silver-haired pensioners, old enough to be my granny, listening to a guy going on and on about something or other for 20 minutes with no adverts, with no chance of changing channel. Meanwhile, no text messages, no mobile phone calls. Just wait till I twit my twitters about these twits."
Well, I don't fancy your life. Never sit for an hour, never quiet, always a plasma screen to look at, slumped in cushions as a couch potato, with the same one or two folk talking rather than listening, with no word of advice, dismissing all of history with a very limited vocabulary, with no appreciation that there's more to life than what we see. No singing, no musical heritage, no learning, no engaging with other ideas, no giving and no sharing, with screaming kids rather than polite, maturer folk, never listening to experts for even just 20 minutes, with lots of adverts channel hopping, with lots of interruptions. Who's the twit now?
Here's Don Francisco singing the Steeple Song.
I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor is super-powered and your program's always new. What you need is love and truth. Men are gonna come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Care if you pray for miracles, don't care if you speak with tongues, don't care if you've said you love me in every song you've sung. It doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? And do you love your wife? With all you've got inside you, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick, that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me.
Hi there, how are you?
Okay.
You don't look it.
I've been thinking.
Are you sure that's a good idea at your age?
Ha ha.
So what have you been thinking about?
Why?
Why what?
Just why.
Well, why not, I suppose, but what were you thinking about why?
I was thinking that why is the most important question.
More important than what other question?
Questions like who, what, when, where and how.
So why is why the most important question?
Because it unlocks so many doors.
How?
No, why.
Yes, but how does why help?
Well, you're doing it already.
Doing what?
Asking me why is helpful.
Right.
Whatever the mystery hidden behind locked doors, just ask, but why, and the door opens.
Why is that?
Because it gets to the heart of the matter.
So why are you looking so glum if you've discovered the most important question of them all?
Because I was sitting here thinking, but why?
But why what?
Why am I here?
Because you came over and sat down?
No, why am I on planet Earth?
Because the moon is less habitable?
Seriously, why are any of us here at all?
Accident of birth, perhaps?
Why live?
Why not? To be or not to be, that is the question.
Why do we live? What's the purpose of life? Is it a test? Is it to entertain God?
Does there have to be a purpose?
Could you live with the thought that there isn't a purpose to life?
Probably.
The Bible says that God has a plan and purpose for life.
For the world, you mean?
Yes, but also for each and every one of us.
A purpose just for me?
Yes.
Why?
Now you sound like me.
Why should there be just one purpose? Why not 10 purposes?
Why not a million purposes, I suppose?
I would settle for just one.
Maybe the purpose of life is to help other people.
Or even better, to be helped by other people.
That's selfish.
Why should selfishness not be the purpose of my life?
Just because it is selfish. Selfishness is sinful.
Who sees?
God.
If there is a God.
There is.
But just supposing there isn't a God, then the purpose of life could be a lot different.
How is that?
Well, I could be selfish without any comeback.
But there is a God, and he doesn't like selfishness.
So, what could his purpose possibly be for us?
To love him.
And enjoy his love?
There you go, being selfish again.
I know, but it would be two-way love.
And also to love others. The Bible says we should love our neighbours.
And have our neighbours love me?
Well, it would be a love triangle. God, others and me.
Sounds good, but could we not just be evolving godlessly? Nothing to do with God or love, just the instinctive propagation of the species, just a raw survival instinct.
But why? What's the point? Evolving in what way? To what end? For what?
For its own sake. No reason, no purpose, just 'cause.
Sounds pointless to me.
Does there always have to be a point?
I sincerely hope there is. The reason you found me glum was because I was starting to doubt the purpose of life and starting to wonder if it is purposeless.
Maybe this is all a refining process to make us sweeter. Maybe this is all an educational process as we learn about life in the school of hard knocks. Maybe it's all about smoothing off our rough edges till the diamond is revealed.
Maybe this is all a preparation for heaven. Like our time in the womb is all about preparing us for our life on planet Earth.
Then again, maybe it's best to think about the purpose of this life in terms of this life, rather than as pie in the sky when you die.
Ah, but if there is a God, and if we're going to be living with him and other people forever and ever with no amen, then this life is very much connected to the next life, just as the caterpillar's life does have a bearing on the butterfly's life. Just as the experience of the fetus has consequences even in adult life. So we need to get on the right track right away.
Maybe, but I like to walk before I run. Take one step at a time. Get the hang of this afternoon's purpose before contemplating my eternal destiny. Which reminds me, what did I come into this room for again?
God only knows. Here's John Denver singing Country Girl in Paris. It's a song about someone out of their usual place and a wee bit full of the but whys.
A country girl in Paris, moonlight all the same, memories of Tennessee, Nashville in the rain. Such a contradiction, a heart that's filled with pain. country girl in Paris, dreaming Nashville in the rain. She walks along the boulevard, Champs-Élysées, thinks about a country boy 3,000 miles away. Pride is such a hard thing, such a price to pay, to be all alone in Paris with true love so far away. Up upon Montmartre, where she stops to rest a while, all the artists look at her and they long to paint her smile. For even in her sorrow, there's something in her eyes that makes the young men jealous, makes the old men sighs. Is always linked to pain. For once the heart is open, nothing ever is the same. So the evening lends itself to lovers and romance. The way to heal a broken heart, give true love just one more chance. Country girl in Paris, moonlight on the Seine, memories of Tennessee, Nashville in the rain. Such a contradiction, a heart that's filled with pain. A country girl in Paris, dreaming Nashville. Oh, country girl in Paris, longing for Nashville in the rain.
Hello, hello, is there anybody there?
Yes, I'm here, but I'm not all there yet.
What's your name?
I don't have a name, I'm still waiting to be born.
So what do folk call you?
The baby, it, the bump. Take your pick, I don't mind.
So are you looking forward to being born?
No.
Why not?
Because I like it here.
You like it out here too?
No, I won't.
Why not?
Because it's nice and cosy in here.
I'm sure your parents will also try to make it nice and cosy for you in your new home.
It's my size in here. Out there it's huge.
You'll grow bigger.
But I'll never grow big enough to fill my world again.
You'll get over your agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia is a big word, even for a talking fetus.
Oh, sorry. It means fear of open spaces. In fact, some people develop claustrophobia, the fear of being confined in tiny, closed spaces.
I find that hard to imagine.
You would. You're a fetus.
You don't understand. It's dark in here. Out there, it's dazzlingly bright.
We do dark too, usually in the evenings.
I've lived here all my life. I like it here. If it's not broken, why fix it?
You sound like an old codger. Get a life.
And as soon as I'm born, some idiot will smack me on the bum.
No, they won't. Things have progressed since that.
But you can't deny that it is a dangerous environment.
No, but it's not as bad as you think.
I remind you that I am a fetus. I don't do a lot of thinking yet.
Well, you seem to have thought of a few negatives already. Why don't you focus on the positives a bit more?
Like what?
You'll be supported by loving parents.
I'm well supported by my mother already. As for Dad's role in this, I'm too young to know at this stage.
There's a whole new, exciting, wonderful world out there waiting for you. For you to explore and to make wonderful discoveries.
Is that so? Well, let me ask you one simple question. If you were in my shoes... No, that's not the right expression. If you were in my position, would you choose to be born again?
Similar conversations were heard throughout the person's life at key moments, such as graduating to the secondary school, starting college, leaving education to start working, getting married, having children, changing jobs, and so on. Then, suddenly, the person was told that they were terminally ill, and death was imminent. Hello, it's me, the interviewer.
Oh no, not you again.
So how are you today?
I'm terminally ill, that's how I am. That's what the doctors tell me.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that.
I don't want to die.
No, I'm sure you don't.
I've made a lovely life for myself, wife, kids, grandchildren, good job, nice house, digital TV with a special Sky package. All so nice and cosy. Now this.
Yes, it is a shock.
Why does it always have to be this way? As soon as you get settled, things have to change.
Well, maybe you'll be going to a better place.
I don't want a better place. I'm happy with the place I've got, thank you. As I always say, if it's not broken, why fix it?
Except in this case, your health is broken.
Well, at least there is one silver lining to my cloud.
What's that?
No more interviews.
Well, I'm afraid to say, you just might be wrong there.
How's that?
Maybe you will find that they interview new arrivals there, just like I did with you on Earth.
Don't tell me.
And more than that, you just might find that the guardian angel interviewer is, well, myself.
You? Are you my guardian angel?
Has it never occurred to you that I always pop up at every key moment in your life? And that at every moment of significance, you're always in the same mood? I like it the way it is. It's cosy here. I don't want to change. If it's not broken, why fix it? And I have to try to get you to see the positive advantages of moving forward to the next stage.
Well, I dare you to find the positives in my situation right now.
How about the fact that you are where you've always wanted to be, surrounded by and supported by loved ones, the centre of a loving network, receiving care and attention?
True, but as you say, I've enjoyed all that already and in better circumstances.
Look at it this way. Your aches and pains and anxieties will soon be over.
Yes, but I'll be dead.
Well, that brings me to my trump card, resurrection. You won't be dead long, or at least it will not seem very long, before you will awaken to a whole new life, a new start, a fresh beginning in heaven.
Or hell.
That's it. Always look on the bright side. Does the prospect of eternal life in heaven, happy ever after, with all your loved ones, face to face with Jesus, does none of that do anything for you?
Pie in the sky when you die sounds nice, but I'm not ready for that yet. I just want more life on Earth, the way it's I've been, the way I'm used to.
May I remind you that you did not even want to be born on planet Earth. You didn't want to go to nursery school. You didn't want whatever the next stage in life was. And true to form, you don't want to die and be born into heaven. Your problem has always been that you are sales resistant to being born again and again and again, forever. Amen.
Well, let me ask you one simple question. How can I learn to be born again and again?
Have you not learned by now? The fetus doesn't get a choice. Pupils don't get the choice. Terminally ill people don't get the choice.
So, is there any choice? Never?
The choice is whether you are dragged kicking and screaming, or whether you come willingly and eagerly embracing God's generous gift of life in all its fullness throughout this life and in the next life. Well, I'm afraid our holy half hour's come to its end, but I'd like to leave you with the uplifting thought, "What a Wonderful World," sung by Louis Armstrong. Bye for now.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.